day is found in the 25th, 26th, and 27th chapter of the book of Genesis. I just abide by the 26th chapter. That's about as far as I could go. We find that Abraham went forth and took a wife by the name of Keturah, and she bared unto him 6 sons. But the commentary says they believed that this woman was the chief maid in Abraham's house. She probably was born in his house, and finally, after his wife Sarah passed away, he married her, and he had 6 sons by her. Now we know that God had likewise given unto Abraham that he and his wife Sarah had a son in their old age. It was past the time for Sarah to have children, and likewise it was past the time for Abraham. But here we have Abraham marrying again and having 6 sons by this woman. Some think that he took this woman long before Sarah died, although I do not think so. I think that he took her after Sarah passed away, and God, who had promised him an innumerable seed, went forth and fulfilled this promise in giving him this woman and 6 sons from her. This then, Keturah, she likewise was fruitful and bared these 6 sons, of whom we read in this chapter in the beginning, and their names are written there. And now we find that Abraham was getting to be an old man. He was, as the scripture says, 175 years of age. God had promised him that he would die in a good old age. It was 100 years ago with Abraham that he had been called out of Ur of the Chaldees by the grace of God, and he had served God 100 years in this life, and now the time came that Abraham was going to die. We find that Abraham gave up the ghost. He was an old man and in old age, and he was gathered unto his people. This man Abraham then, who was a saint of God, passed away at this age. This teaches us that death is certain, irrespective of how long that we live upon this earth. And none of us have any doubts about the salvation of this patriarch Abraham. He had many visitations of God in his life. He had many promises given to him, and many of them were fulfilled, and he was gathered to his people. Giving up the ghost, we read quite often of in Scripture. We read it of Ananias and Sapphira, that they immediately died and gave up the ghost. We read this likewise of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave up the ghost, yielding his spirit unto his Father. This giving up the ghost means nothing else but expiring and giving up our breath, a gathering unto his people. This is said likewise of many others in Scripture directly, that this means there's a separation made to what people they are gathered to. Because we read it of the wicked as well as of the just, that they are gathered to their people. We do believe that they who die in the Lord are gathered unto the Lord, and those that die in their sins, they are cast away from God's presence into that place of everlasting woe and destruction. And now Abraham, of course, he being a saint, he died in peace. His death was a glorious death, for it was an entering into heaven above. He was delivered from a body of sin, and he was gathered to be with his Jesus in heaven above. My hearers, have you been called by grace? Have you any sign that God has a favor towards you, love to you? Have you any Ebenezers raised up in this life that God has visited you, that he has spoken to you? And then if God comes to take your life away, you will be where Abraham is. There will be no doubt about it. Is Abraham there? You will be there. whom God loves, he just don't love to the end of our life, but he loves to all eternity. There is no end to the love of God, and he will gather his people to be with himself. Oh, blessed death for those that die in the Lord and are taken home to be with him. But oh, how awful it will be for many that die outside of this. Oh, how terrible it will be to die in our sins and then to be cast away forever and ever. Oh, may you who are such poor creatures and who are still living on the broad road to destruction, oh, may God have mercy upon you. Oh, may you realize this. Death is certain, and the hour very uncertain, my hearers. We are hastening towards the end of this year. We know not how many of us will still live at the end of this year. We don't know when we're going to die. It could be you or I, either today or tomorrow yet. All think upon these things. This is a serious matter. It's a matter that concerns your immortal soul, and I'm seeking the welfare of your soul. Could I direct you to him who has no love, no delight in your death, who has said in his word that the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon. Do you believe his word? Go to him then. Say, here I am, Lord, a wicked creature. Oh, do look down in mercy upon me. You don't have any delight in the death of the wicked. Oh, Lord, let me not die in my sin. Save me, Lord, deliver me. Oh, could I entreat you to seek his face? Bring his word before him. Plead upon it, and who knows what he may do for your immortal soul. Abraham was taken home to be with God forever and ever. Oh, think of this, my hearers, that if you do not experience these things, then you will not be where Abraham is, but you will be in that awful place where there will be nothing else, as we read of in the parable of the rich man. That poor man died and he went to hell. And what did he have there? Oh, he didn't even get a drop of water for his scorched tongue. Think of it, you dear hearers. You have plenty to eat, plenty to drink. You're enjoying the things of life. And oh, what it will be if you should die in your sins. Then you won't have anything like you have now, not even a drop of water. Oh, may you prayerfully seek God yet while he is yet to be found. And now we find that when Abraham died, we don't read of his funeral, of his burial, although his sons, Ishmael and Isaac, they buried their father in the cave of Machpelah, in that cave in which Sarah was buried. These two brothers, they were at a variance. They were distant from each other. But now when their father died, we find they came together and they buried their father. This happens very often in life. Brothers and sisters, they live apart from each other. They can't even speak with each other. They despise each other. But then sometimes when mother or father dies, then the brothers and sisters get together, and then there is a reconciliation again with each other. Oh, sometimes even that death is a blessing for them, that they don't go on living in hatred and enmity with each other. And now they buried their father in the cave in Machpelah. Abraham desired to be buried with his wife. This happens likewise in life, my hearers. Many people, before they die, they make a stipulation that whenever either mother or father dies, they should be buried in this plot and be buried together. This happens in many cases. Cemeteries are full of plots where families are laid out after they die. And I was thinking how terrible it will be in the day of resurrection. Oh, think, my hearers, when God will come to judge this world in righteousness, and how many parents who have lived in sin, died in sin, and they will arise to the just judgment of the damnation. Oh, awful thought, my hearers, and so true. And then again, there will be some, maybe father, maybe mother loved the Lord, and the other did not. Oh, there will be an eternal separation made when these graves will be opened. Oh, the one will enter into glory, and the other will depart from God in everlasting fire. Oh, how awful the thought, my seek the Lord? Should we not cry after him to be found in him while it is yet called today? Oh, may you be given to do so. And now we find that after the death of Abraham, God blessed his son Isaac immensely. Isaac, he was heir of all what Abraham had. Abraham had been his own executor. He had divided his riches, and he sent these sons of Keturah with Ishmael to the east before that he died, and likewise he gave all what he had unto Isaac. Isaac must have been a wealthy man when his father died and left him everything that he had. But irrespective of this, God went ahead yet and blessed him immensely. God had promised Abraham that he would bless him and bless his seed and his posterity. And God's promise was again fulfilled in this man, Isaac. Isaac was a different man than Abraham. Isaac was a more quiet and reserved man and had not the visitations that Abraham had of God in his life. And now we find that Ishmael, the son born unto Hagar, he likewise had 12 sons given unto him, who were likewise 12 kings, and they ruled in various countries. And we read of Ishmael that he became 137 years of age, and he died in the midst of his brethren. Another death, my hearers. Oh, we read so often of death in the scriptures. He died, and this died, and then that one died. And oh, it's awful to think, but it's so true. We all have to die. Death is very certain, and the hour very uncertain. And now this man, Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, and in and through whom God was going to go forth, and also use him, and give unto him likewise a seed, he married Rebekah when he was 40 years of age. And Rebekah was barren. And Isaac, he entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah, because she was barren. And he was entreated of him from Isaac. Here we have then Rebekah in the same position as Sarah. Sarah and Abraham, they neither had any child either. And so it was with Isaac and Rebekah. They had no children. How long? Well, he was married when he was 40 years of age, and when they had these two sons, Isaac was 60 years of age. 20 years they were without children. 20 years they prayed for a child, and it didn't seem as if God was going to give them anyone. Still, they had promises to plead upon, for God had promised that he would make Abraham's seed as the stars in the sky. And yet, they had no child. And now this man Isaac, he didn't do like Abraham did. Abraham, at the advice of his wife, he took Hagar and went in unto her, and he had Ishmael by her. But Isaac didn't do this. He loved Rebekah, and he continued to pray. 20 years is a long time, isn't it? Huh? How long have some of you been praying? Maybe there are some young people that are listening to me that have no children. I would advise you to do just as Isaac and Rebekah did. What did they do? They continued in prayer, although it seemed as if they never would have one. Still, finally, God was entreated of Isaac, and they were given children. So it may be in your particular case, you that have no children, and you that think you never will have any, oh, I would advise you to do just as Isaac and Rebekah did. You know, these two people, they prayed together. That teaches us, too, that husbands and wives should pray together, should seek God's countenance. And although you may not receive an answer, do not faint. Continue. Be instant in prayer. See, with Rebekah, they were finally given a children. Well, there may be some likewise amongst my hearers. I wish everyone was like this, but This is God's sovereignty. He chooses one and leaves the other. That may be the case with some that are listening to me. There may be a mother or there may be a father that has grace. Father may be a gracious man and the mother destitute of this blessing. And this father, seeing this in the wife, seeing that she's barren of the grace of God, is pleading that God would grant this woman the same grace that he has received, or it might be vice versa. And now this may go on a long time, and it may seem as if God is not listening to you, or that he passes by your wife and your prayers. But be instant in prayer. The Lord has said, he that asks shall receive, he that knocks shall be opened, he that seeks shall find. Now there may be another one here. Just like Rebecca, what was she? She was barren. And you know, many times the Lord's people, they feel themselves so barren. Oh, there was a time they felt themselves so lively. They had such prayer and exercise, the word of truth, and they lived so under the ministry of the word. But now in this position, they are like Rebecca, they are barren. They feel so cold, they feel so prayerless, they feel so sinful and so evil and so worldly and so carnal. I could go on in this. I know what this is myself, to be barren and to have no desire whatsoever, and not a living cry in the heart after God. To be barren in this respect is a miserable thing. And oh, there may be such a barren soul listening to me. I may have pointed out to you your particular case. And you find in yourself so many things contrary to what you thought you would be. And now you are praying for a revival. You are praying that God would come again, that God would enliven again your soul, that he would smile on you, and that he would kiss you and tell you that you were his child. And you've been doing this, and you say, oh, he doesn't seem to listen. Oh, I don't get no answer. Everything remains the same. Oh, I would entreat you, as the Lord says, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Continue in prayer. Oh, it may be in an unexpected moment that you will find such a revival, oh, such a change within, and then everything will be lively, and all your soul's exercises will be towards him. The Lord grant it for his name's sake. Now, these people, then, they pray 20 years. We have to pray sometimes a long time for something. We don't just get it right away. And we become, we become so that we don't even want to pray anymore because it doesn't seem as if God is listening and going to answer us. But listen, my hearers, we ain't got anything to lose by praying, nothing. And we don't deserve the things that we ask God for. Therefore, we should continue on and persevere. And who knows and who can tell when God will answer us and grant us the prayers that we have been sending up unto him. It was so with these two people. 20 years they looked forward for a child, and finally he was entreated of them. And we find that she conceived. And she was then in this state and condition that she was going to have a child. She knew then that she had an answer to her prayers. Haven't you had that sometimes? You that listen to me, you that pray, and you that seek the Lord's countenance, can you deny that he never listened to you, that he never answered you? Did he never give you a revival? Did he never visit you or smile on you under the word of grace? Hasn't he given you again some token of his favor and of his love? Oh, despise not these things. These are wonderful things. These are the things of God. Who would despise the day of small things? Oh, may God renew again and again that soul that is so barren and feels itself like a wilderness, that it may begin to thrive and to grow and to bear fruit to the honor and to the glory of God. Here then, Rebecca, as she was pregnant, she was going to have a child. And now, in this pregnancy, we find that she had so much commotion within. The children struggled within. She didn't know this. But this too, my hearers, happens in life, and this is what happened to Rebecca. She had prayed a long time for a child, and now when she had all this commotion within, she probably thought, well, when I give birth to this child, I'll die. Now she was troubled because she was that way. First she was troubled because she didn't have any, and now she's troubled because she had some coming, but, oh, she didn't know what was going on within. And now where this disturbance was going on within, she said, if I am thus, how is it that I am thus? If I am so, she says, how is it that I am thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. So this woman then, she was having trouble concerning what was going on within her. And she went to the Lord with her trouble. Now this, my hearers, is likewise a type of the struggle that goes on in this world between the seed of the woman and Satan's kingdom. Ever since God set enmity between the seed of the woman and the serpent's seed, there has been this struggle going on in this world. And likewise, it is a type likewise of the struggle that goes on in the heart of a believer. Oh, when God begins a good work of grace in a sinner's soul, this sinner doesn't always know that it's God's work. God works sometimes so mysteriously, and we are so ignorant, we cannot discern that it is God's work within us. And then the Spirit operates in different ways according to the nature of a person. Some have sharp convictions of sin. Some are set over hell sometimes and shaken over the top of it, and they're so afraid that they're going to fall into it. Others are convicted more mildly by God's Spirit. They have convictions which are deep enough and which likewise disturb them so that they are troubled within. All sin is their trouble, and all they can overcome sin. They make vows, they make resolutions, they make promises. I've done that. Oh, and I pray that God would help me to overcome sin. You've done that too already in your life. And oh, you don't know what it is going on in you. You can't say that God has begun a work of grace in you, but this is going on within. Is it going on within any of my hearers? I wish that everyone was troubled about their sins. And then my hearers, they are troubled whether this, what is going on within them, is the work of God or not. Oh, they say, if it is so, and I am thus, how come I'm this way? If now this was the work of grace in me, wouldn't I love God? Wouldn't I fear him? Wouldn't I serve him? Wouldn't he smile on me? And I find just the opposite within me. I find sin so strong, and oh, I find such a love to sin in my nature, and I haven't any power against it. I give way so often, and I think, well, it couldn't be, couldn't be. This could not be the grace of God. I never would do these things if God was working in my heart. I surely would love God. I would love Jesus, and I wouldn't have this trouble that's going on within me. Oh, how ignorant are we, my hearers, when God is working within us. Now, this woman was disturbed. She was troubled with all what was going on within her. Where did she go with her trouble? At this time yet, Abraham was still living. Abraham was 160 years of age when this took place with Rebekah. The commentary thinks that she went to inquire of the Lord by Abraham because he was a prophet. And she wanted to know what was going on within her. And now God answered her. He told her that there were two nations within her womb, and that two people would come forth from her, the one stronger than the other. But the elder shall serve the younger. This was then an answer to her prayer. How am I thus? You that are troubled about your inward sins, troubled with your soul's condition, you who I've touched upon a little bit, could I follow you sometimes into your inner chamber, into the place where you kneel down before God? Could I listen to you? I would hear you say sometimes, Lord, won't you give me a token? Won't you give me a sign that it's your work within me? Won't you make it plain and clear, Lord? I don't know what's going on within me. Oh, I do long to know that you love me, that you have a favor towards me. Oh, make it plain, make it clear for me, Lord. Are those your prayers? Are those your sighs and cries? Oh, wouldn't it be a wonder to you if you got an answer? Did this woman get an answer? She sure did. She was told what was going on within her. And haven't you ever had an answer? Haven't you come up to the house of God with this condition? Haven't you said before you came up, oh, if I only got a token, if I only got a sign that this, what I'm going through, is truly the work of God? And haven't you had sometimes a blessed application of the word to your hearts? Haven't you had time and again, some of you that are listening to me, signs and tokens of the favor of God towards you? Oh, do not deny it. Do not put it to one side. They are wonderful things. Nobody knows what's going on within your heart but God. And when you come up under the means of grace, then it pleases God to witness with his truth. He gives you signs and tokens of his favor and of his love. Why, you've had sometimes more joy under the means of grace than of eating the choicest food in this life. You have eaten the word, you have enjoyed it. It's been to the joy and to the happiness of your soul within. And still you wouldn't say anything to nobody. You wouldn't come for anything. You wouldn't dare speak about it to somebody. You keep it to yourself. You're all choked up with it. This is no good, my hearers. Oh, come out. For the name and for the honor and for the glory and for the grace of God. Hide not what God does to you. This woman then, she was told that she had twins within her womb, and that they were going to be born, and they would be two nations, two different people. And that the elder would serve the younger. Now, this was a prophecy of God even before these two sons were born. God told her this. And likewise, my hearers, this prophecy was fulfilled in this, that the elder would serve the younger. The elder was Esau. Esau, he had a country called Edom. And in this country, the people had kings and dukes long before the Israelites ever had a king. They were a great and a thriving people. But in the time of David, David conquered them and subdued them, and they became tributary to him. The elder served the younger, because David's seed was of Jacob's seed. And now, my hearers, this woman, she likewise had the time that she had to give birth. The time came, and it was fulfilled, and there were twins in her womb, and the one was called Esau, and the other one was called Jacob. The one called Esau because he was red and hairy all over. This son that was born, he had all the types of being a robust and an active individual, where Jacob, he was a smooth man, just like any other child when they are born, and he would be a plain man. This likewise proves to us the sovereignty of God sometimes, even in our birth, that God sometimes gives that we see in this child that it's going to be a healthy and a well-born child, and it's going to be somebody. Where sometimes God gives children, they're weak, they're frail, they're not like other children. It's God's prerogative to bring these into the world. And my hearers, You can just imagine now how happy that Isaac and Rebekah were when they were given two children. You know, when God gives, my hearers, he gives abundantly, doesn't he? They prayed for a child and they got two of them. Wasn't God good to them? Oh, how happy they were with these children that they had. And my hearers, many of you have been happy too that you have had children. But likewise with Rebekah and Isaac, they likewise found that when we have children, children likewise bring a lot of trouble sometimes in life to the parents. We read so distinctly of Esau that he married two women of the Hittites. They were of the Canaanites. And they were a grief of heart to Isaac and Rebekah. How often this does not take place in life. A mother is overjoyed when they have a child. And oh, as the child grows up, we know not what sort of a spirit the child has. And oh, my hearers, we find that children who are a heritage of the Lord are sometimes thorns in our side. Oh, it's a blessing if we have obedient children, loving children, and that they walk in the ways that we have walked, and that they may follow in our footsteps. But oh, how often children depart from the ways that their parents have instructed them to walk in, and how a grief they are to their parents. Many of you were witness to this fact that this is true. And now it was so with these people. They were happy when they were born, but after a while, we find that they likewise experience grief within. And now these two young men, they grew, and Esau, he became a cunning hunter, and Jacob, he was a plain man. He dwelt in tents. He was a shepherd. Esau then, he was a robust, a great strong man, and he spent all his time and all his life in hunting. He was a sportsman. Oh, this is what he lived for. Take a gun or take an arrow and a bow and go out in the field and go hunting. He would spend days and weeks hunting. This is all that he had on his mind. But Jacob, he was a man that took care of flocks. He was a shepherd, and he lived close to home. He was in his mother's tent many times talking to his mother, and his mother was talking to him, and you may be sure that she instructed him in the ways of the Lord. Now the commentary says that this young man, Jacob, he had grace, but I can't see this, not in any of his actions until later. But now, these two young men, they grew up, and now Esau, he come home with deer meat. He would make that, and he'd prepare that so nice, and he'd make it so tasty, and he'd bring it to his father. And his father, he just delighted in eating that meat. Well, you know, it says, we say it, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And that's the way Esau got to the heart of his father, Isaac. Oh, his father loved him, because he brought him every time such nice meat to eat. But now, Rebekah, she loved Jacob. Why? Because she had been told that the elder shall serve the younger. And she realized that in Jacob, the Messiah would come forth, and he would be the one that would be blessed by God. She loved him, and Isaac loved Esau. In other words, Esau was Isaac's darling. He was his pet, because, yeah, he got so good things to eat off him. Now, this is wrong. This happens, too, in families. We make pets of children. One children's obedient, nice. Another child is stubborn, don't listen. And we show favor to the one that's obedient and nice, but the one that's stubborn and don't want to listen, we shun that one. This isn't proper. You know, wisdom is necessary for parents to bring up children. I can agree, if a parent has grace, and it sees grace in the child, that the heart of that parent would go out to that child, because it has the same principle within it. But when we bring up children, my hearers, we should show no partiality. We should not play any pets or have any darlings outside of every one of them. They should be alike treated and alike loved because they are our children. But we see that in this, even in Rebekah and Isaac, they made a distinction with these two sons. And of course, this many times causes enmity and friction in families. You find children even speaking behind their parents' back. Oh, they like that one. They don't like me. That's no good. It's wrong. Parents listening to me, ask the Lord to give you wisdom to bring your children up and bring them up in the fear and in the nurture of the Lord and bring them to God in prayer and all bring them up that they won't have anything to say against your dealings and actions concerning them. Love them with all your hearts, irrespective of how that they act and treat you. Remember, you have to answer before God for how you have brought them up. And now we find that Rebekah and Isaac, they had these two sons. And now Isaac, he was the father of these two sons, and he was getting old. He was getting older and older. How old that these sons were, some think they were 35 years of age, so that would make Isaac around 95 already. And now they grew up and they had their occupations and they worked in this way, and we find that this Esau, he was the firstborn. He was then the elder. They were both born at the same time, but Esau was the firstborn. And now, the firstborn in the families of the Israelites and of those that are dwelling in the East, they were accounted almost just as much honor as the parents. If the father died, the firstborn son, he would take the place of the father in the government of the family, and likewise in serving God in their worship. And likewise, he would receive a double portion of his father's goods. This went on until the time that God instituted the priesthood. Even before this, the eldest son, he had the right and the authority to minister in the tabernacle and in the temple and offer up religious worship. But when God gave this priesthood by the way of Aaron, then this ceased to be. Then the priests, the Levites, they were in charge of the religious service. And now, this birthright that Esau had was very valuable, because he was entitled to be the father. If Isaac died, he was entitled likewise to rule and to reign and to govern everything, and he would have a double portion. And now this man, Esau, he was a worldly man, he was a hunter, he was a sportsman, and he didn't care much about this birthright. In fact, probably Jacob spake with him many times about this birthright, and he got it out of him as if to say, well, what does that mean? That don't mean anything to be the firstborn. And Jacob, he had his eye on this. Now, the commentary says he had his eye on this birthright because the spiritual blessings were attached to it. But I would think, too, that he was looking like a Jew does. He was looking for what? He was looking for the double portion. He was looking for all these things that the firstborn was entitled to. And now, this man, Jacob, he longed to have this birthright. Now, it was transferable, as you see, in this particular case. So, when Esau went out hunting one day, he hunted and hunted, and he became so faint and so weary and so hungry that he returned homeward. And as he returned homeward, he sees Jacob. He was cooking or sodding pottage. Pottage was something that they made with lentils. They would use various things and make a group of various vegetables mixed with a piece of meat, and this would be red in color, and this was called pottage. And where Jacob now was cooking this, we find that when Esau came in from his hunting, he seen this. This attracted him. He was hungry, and he was faint and weary. And when he seen that, he had such a craving and such a desire for this pottage that he says to Jacob, "Give me of that pottage." And now here Jacob, he takes advantage of his brother. He says to him, he says, "Sell me your birthright." Well, Esau says, "What good is this birthright to me? I'm at the point to die." In other words, he said, "What good will this be? If I die, what does it make me with these benefits that are attached to this birthright?" So he consented to sell it to Jacob. And now Jacob, he says, "Swear unto me," he says. He wanted to make sure of it. So he swore unto him. And we find that Jacob, he brought bread and he brought pottage and he brought meat before him, and he was his servant and he fed him. And Esau ate of all the pottage that he was given, and he arose and he went away. So Esau despised his birthright, it says. He had no thought, he had no concern, he wasn't sorry that he had done this. He just got up and walked away. Now, it's sure that he was not at a point to die, as he says. And furthermore, if he had been so hungry, he could have went into his father's house. There was plenty of food in that house. And he didn't exactly need this pottage. But the lust, the cravings, the desires for what he seen there and this red attracted him, and he wanted it. That was what he wanted, and he desired to have it at any cost, even if it cost him his birthright. And so this is the way that Jacob obtained the birthright of Esau. This was wrong of Jacob. If Jacob, as the commentary says, was a gracious person, he didn't have to do this. He should have looked up to God and said, "Lord, the blessings that are attached to this birthright, I have such a desire for. Oh, won't you see to it that I get this birthright?" Now, this is the way Jacob actually stole the birthright away from his brother. If he'd have been a good brother, he said, "Sit down, brother. I'll give you all the red pottage you want. I'm sure, brothers here, if one of your brothers was weary and he was faint and he was desirous to have something to eat that you were cooking, well, you wouldn't deny him it. And you wouldn't want him to pay for it." But Jacob, he wanted this birthright. And this is the way that he obtained it. But Esau in this is a profane man. By despising of this birthright, Esau is a type of many men.